At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Hello, listeners, and welcome to Injury Time, the ISL edition, with me, Sandeep Menon, here. And with me for this week, we have two, well, very good friend of mine, Mr. Chidananda and Sudarshan from The Hindu. Hi, guys. How are you?
Hi. I'm good, Sandeep. How are you?
Enjoying Kerala. How is Bangalore?
Yeah, the weather is good here, so can't complain.
And what about you, Sudarshan? How's it going?
It's good. It's nice and sunny, so I always like it. So.
Okay, let's not waste too much time because my editor gets angry when I do that. And let's get straight to the point. We'll talk about Kerala Blasters first. They had two matches over the week, one with Jamshedpur, which they drew, and one with Pune, which they lost. So coming to you, Chidu, first, what do you make of Kerala's season so far, and where have they gone wrong?
Where they've gone wrong, that is a very difficult question to answer. But they are just having a terrible season. And actually, the game against Jamshedpur, I thought they played very well. Offensively, actually, they looked the best they probably had the whole season. But they didn't finish well, and they had lots of chances. And thankfully for them, at least they scored that one goal. So, yeah, some signs of improvement, but obviously this has been a horrible season for them. And David James has really not been able to inspire his players. So with all the fan protests and other things going on, I think the club really quickly has to do something to turn things around.
Do you think there is an opportunity, Sudarshan, coming to you, of turning things around, considering how far it's already gone with the, you know, fans chanting Berbatov's name at James and stuff like that, and, you know, boycotting the matches itself?
Boycotting the match, I'm not sure. I think Lothar Matthäus was at the match, I think, so in the boycotting match. But I'm not very sure how far they can go, because I think they're out of the top four race now, almost, yeah. Or mathematically out.
No, not mathematically, but I think more or less missed the bus.
Yeah, so, and considering how well the teams at the top are playing, I think they can just call the season to an end and think about the next season now. So whether they want to continue with David James, or because I think a lot of fan anger seems to be directed at the way they are playing. So which is basically, I mean, translated into those bad results. So I think they should just forget the season and move on.
Yes.
And about the fan protests, so there's something very interesting actually that David James said after the last match. So he was saying he just can't understand the fact that fans are not turning up because the team is playing badly, and he was giving his examples of, you know, Luton Town and Portsmouth, and so he was basically saying whether your team does well or badly, you have to support them always, and indirectly suggesting that you are not real fans. If you want to come to the stadium only when your team is winning, and you know you have to stick with your team through thick and thin, and I sort of agree with him.
Okay, so David James trying to put out the fires there. But one of the teams that we focused on, when they lost the match to Pune at home, who are on a good run of form, finally finding some goals. They had a victory over there, and then they had another 2-0 victory over Goa as well later in the week. So do you think it's finally turning the corner? And if so, what are they doing differently now?
Yeah, so again, Pune also just 6 points off the top four. So, I mean, that way, if you look at it, okay, Kerala also just 8 points. So, they have 6 games coming up in the new year now. So, if they keep playing like this, they will turn it around. But yeah, the one thing about only that I did notice is that I think they seem to do their homework about the teams they are facing. And I think that is one feature of what Pradeep Reddy has done throughout. I think that was what he was doing even in PFC. He was very good at scouting his opponents and very good at studying them. So he was saying how Pune spotted that Kerala had been playing Sandeep Chingan at right back. So he said that was one of the main plans that they had to target him. So they used Ashik Kurunian to, Ashik, who ironically is from Kerala, Malappuram boy. So they used him to kind of target Sandeep Chingan. And yeah, and he really, really gave Chingan a very tough time. So yeah, so that was good. So yeah, only Pune's third win that was. So still, you know, it's too early to speak of like a dramatic turnaround. And now anyway, there is a break. So we don't know how the team is going to start after January. So, but I think it's too early to say that they've turned a corner. But yeah, anyway, it was a good result against Kerala.
And how much has the... Sorry.
If I actually remember correctly, after the BFC game, Pradyum Reddy, I'm not sure. I think he also spoke about the number of players that he had available, like very little.
Correct.
And considering that they have a break now, and if there are any niggles to this thing or anything to do, they can always start afresh. And it's actually good to actually get a couple of good results before that, so that you have something to build on when you actually restart.
Yes, of course, Hume has come back, which has ended up with, you know, now they're playing with two strikers and Marcelino in the hole. I think that has also made a big difference there.
Yeah, correct.
Yes, now moving on to, let's talk about Delhi Dynamos and their match against Mumbai. One of the things is I wanted to check with you, which is they had two matches and they won two of them before they came to Bangalore, and they drew the Bangalore match 1-1 again, despite going down to 10 men. So Mumbai has been doing really, really well, but not too much has been made about them. Why do you think that is? Is this the way they play their game?
Yeah, I think that is probably true. But I think also what happens is when they lost 5-0 to Goa just early in the season, a lot of people wrote them off. And a team like BFC that has been consistently performing, they got all the headlines. And Mumbai had lost, I think, two of their first four. And so after that, they just sort of vanished off the radar. And I mean, at least in the public consciousness, they weren't big. Northeast were playing attractive football. So Goa score a lot of goals. They concede a lot, but they also score a lot of goals. So they sort of attract attention more than a team like Mumbai, which is, you know, probably is not one of the more entertaining sides, but still very solid nonetheless.
And Sudarshan, you were there at the Bangalore Rules game with Mumbai, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I was.
So what did you make of that performance? Very gritty.
A very solid way of playing. They exactly know what to do to get a result. And they don't actually get much going through the middle, actually. The thing is, they somehow get the ball out and pass it to the right winger. I think he is from Congo, Alfaro.
Congo, yeah.
Yeah, and then pass it to Sogo, who is the forward. So they have So they have a very predictive way of playing, but those two guys are too quick. So... And it's pretty... BFC found it very tough to actually shut both of them down, because... And I don't think the BFC backline, and however good technically they might be, they're not fast. So if there is a ball that's beyond them, and if there is a one-on-one sprint, 9 times out of 10, the opponents are winning it. So they have a very predictive but solid way of playing, and their backline is pretty strong. And what I also found was that they are not a team which rotates much. I think Subhashish Bose has played every minute this time, and mostly with Joiner as well. So it's a pretty solid team which's not much rotated, and they know exactly what they need to do.
Yes, and that draw came on the back of, I think, a couple of away fixtures, all in the space of less than a week. So 3 games, and they managed to do a good job.
I think the thing about Mumbai, the thing about the ISL is, in general, if you can get 3 or 4 good overseas players, technically good overseas players in key positions, it can make a lot of difference to how a team can perform. I think Chennai did that last year, and when they won the title for the first time, even before, they had some very good overseas players in key positions. And I think, even Mumbai have, I think Bastos and Machado, both of them technically very good players. Sudhu and Isoko also very athletic, very fast. So I think because of that, that is making a lot of difference. So sometimes they can carry a team even when other players around them may not be at their best.
Yes, another player carrying a team is Northeast United FC, who came, who drew with Bengaluru FC with a last-minute goal scored by Chencho, an overhead kick there. And then they had another draw with ATK. They kind of seems to be tailing off a little bit there.
Oh, Northeast?
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know about that. Because still, see, look at BFC. Every team in the league would want to... BFC is still unbeaten. And they went to Guwahati and they really struggled. And it required a late goal. It required like this crazy acrobatic goal from Chencho. So Northeast nearly beat BFC. So, you know, it's not an easy... Guwahati is not an easy place to go to. And this is not just logistically. I mean, it in terms of the Northeast United team as well. So I think they've done okay. You cannot expect, you know, every team to win every single game, to be at 100% all the matches. But I think three draws is fine. You know, now they have some time to rejuvenate and come back. So I think they're okay.
Yeah, and their performance, especially against ATK, they looked very fatigued. They've been traveling and playing a lot.
I'm sure fatigue must have been, you know, one of the issues. They're playing, I think three games in the space of 8 days. So when that happens, obviously you end up getting tired.
And I don't think this schedule has gone down too well with a lot of people. Like you said about Mumbai, I think they played one game in Mumbai, went to Delhi, and then they flew to Bangalore. So you pretty much play three matches with absolutely no training sessions or anything, except for the first match. Unlike the last year when they had matches only on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday and Sunday. So this schedule, I don't think has benefited any of these teams.
Yeah, and also talking of fatigue, again, you know, their top scorer, and I think he's the joint top scorer in the ISL as well, or maybe second, Ogbeche. So Ogbeche, I think he's level with Gaurav Minhas with 8 goals. He has played every minute of every Northeast game so far. So, and he's 34. So when you're 34 and you're playing 90 minutes into 11 games and then 270 minutes in the space of 8 days, definitely is going to have an effect.
Yes. Now let's talk about Bengaluru FC. So I have a theory, and I would like, because both of you have covered with me and without me as well for a long time now, Bengaluru FC. So if you look at the few matches that they've had, they've consistently managed to get the result, but they've depended on individual brilliance, like maybe a long shot from Udanta or a bicycle kick from Chencho. So they've managed to get, you know, players to step up at great levels, but are they actually playing that well? Especially if you look at the last match when Mumbai gave them, you know, a proper run despite being only 10 men.
I'm not sure, because there has been a lot of tinkering with the team. I think at the front end they have been forced to do it because Miko has not been there, and they're still experimenting as to with Chencho, and then him and Chetri moving into the center after Chencho was replaced. Udanta is the only one who has consistently played on the right. So all the other positions have now been shifted. But I don't think they get much from the wings this time, because there is some curious reason why Quadrat is actually playing Nishu and Beke on opposite flanks, even when both are available. I can understand when one is not available, you shift one, make Cabra play on one wing, but they are not getting much from the flanks. And one of the goals that they got from the flanks was, I think, Chencho's overhead when Kian Lewis actually crossed it from the left, I think. So they are playing okay, but I don't think they are getting much service from the flanks, actually, to be fair.
But when you look at the team, there is a belief that they are not going to lose. Like in the Northeast game, although they went down, it always looked like they were going to score. So
that's one thing that I think Carlos has also kept on saying, that they now know how to manage the game. Like if they're 2-1 up, say with 10 minutes to go or 15 minutes to go, they know how to get to the end. Or if they are drawing away, like, so I think they are managing the game better. And yeah, Miku's resting has not helped them, but they are playing okay, not great in the last two, three games, but they got the results.
Yes. Now, moving on to, well, the biggest news that Indian football has now, which is the AFC Cup probables list has been released. Both of you, any surprises there?
DK, the obvious surprise, shocking actually that he's been omitted. Yeah, and what I find hard to believe is that, forget the final 15, or forget the final 23, he has not even made it to 34 probables. And that I find a little hard to understand, a little baffling actually, Constantine's reasoning, because you look at the number of left options he's chosen at left back, you know, Lal Ruathara, Jerry Lal Rizwala, Nishu Kumar, Narayan Das, Subhashish Das, I mean, Subhashish Bose, yeah. can also play at left back. So you have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, you have like almost 5 players who can play left back. And except for Pritam Kotal, you don't have any players who are used to playing at the right back position. So why would you not choose Rahul Dekke unless there is some other reason outside of what we know? I really don't understand. And Pritam Kotal, again, I watched him in the match against Jordan. He really didn't convince me in that position. So neither did, you know, Anas and Salam Nandan Singh in the center. So I have no idea why he would not take someone like Rahul Dekke, who at least, if you go by form, in the last, you know, 3 or 4 matches, he has been probably the most informed right back in the country. So, yeah, it's just beyond me why you can choose so many youngsters, but you look beyond Becky.
Yes, very versatile defender also.
Yeah, inform right back without playing at right back. So, yeah, exactly. So, we were just talking before that, and that is a good point, I think, that probably one reason that, you know, we're just speculating here, but one reason could be that AK has not played at right back all the time. He can play there, but he's played at the center. He's been made to play on the left here at BFC. So he's not maybe playing 90 minutes every game at right back. So possibly that could be one of the reasons. But there is no explanation still for, you know, leaving him out of the 34, yeah.
Yes, only one I-League player has made the rank, which is Saram Ranjan Singh. But 5 from Kerala Blasters have made it, including Sahal Samad, who is the maiden call-up for him, at least in the probables 11. So, considering the team is not doing well, how smart do you think that part is? I mean, we don't know how many of them will eventually get selected, but still.
But, yeah, that's always, like, maybe the manager sees something in the player that can actually fit in with his system, so we are not exactly sure as to if the team's performance at the club level should necessarily dictate, because that doesn't seem to be. Because if that's the case, then Beke should have been there. So maybe Constantine has a plan and he's just choosing players to fit the system. So that might be the only obvious reason. And another thing that I wanted to ask was, because the last time when the Indian team was selected for Jordan, I think there was some chatter that Suseraj was not selected in the Indian team or the national fielder. So, has his form tailed off since then? Because I have not been watching that much of...
He's injured.
He's injured. Okay.
Yeah, but he was in good form until he got injured. But, yeah.
So, is that a long-term injury or...?
No, I think he should be back by another 2 weeks. I think he's already back in training. I saw some pictures.
Oh, okay.
Yes, which leads me to the last segment, which is a Twitter question, which is very similar to what we already discussed, which is the take on our probables. And the second part of the question is Constantine fit to continue as coach after the Asia Cup?
Based on results, I think he should. So, okay. Considering what they have done in the last 2 years, on paper at least. But I'm not sure, because the AFF has been saying that he has a contract till 2019 Asia Cup, and we deserve to honor that. So, on paper results, yes, but it also depends on the players' feedback. So, I don't know exactly what's going into that.
We've had a few reports saying there is some unrest in the camp between the captain and the coach. So, maybe that might also weigh in.
Yeah, that Mumbai press conference was actually pretty curious. I think he was speaking in riddles. Like, there was a point, and you could actually, if you take out parts of it and read it in isolation, you can actually make your own, draw your own conclusions. But there was a time when he said, yes, we need to look at a future beyond Chetri. So, which, it's a no-brainer. But at the same time, when Chetri was playing so well, if you say something like that, it might be construed in an entirely different way. And he also praised Chetri in the same press conference. So I think he was speaking in riddles there. Nobody is clear as to what's going on. So maybe after the Asia Cup, we might have something.
Yeah, to add to the, so just about the national team discussion, I was just thinking that, okay, this is still the problem. But then I'm looking at the options for India. If you want to talk beyond Chetri, and, you know, he plays along with JJ. And if you look at that afterwards, what? You know, you have Balwant Singh, Manveer Singh, maybe Sumit Bassi.
Farooq Chaudhary.
Farooq Chaudhary, how good they are, how experienced they are. Really, you know, it leaves us wondering what the state of the team is going to be the day Chetri decides to retire.
And
who can handle the burden that he's been shouldering all these years?
That is a very interesting question, which leads us to the next question. The first one was from Brian D'Souza. The second one is from Ashwin. And he says, because he follows me and I tweet a lot about what Udanta is, who I personally feel is going to be the next breakout star. So he asked me what is the fascination about it. And I'll just give you a small this thing before you guys can chip in. I think Chidu and I, we've had this discussion before also. Which is this year, always his problem was last year he had 7 assists and 1 goal. This year he's already updated to 3 goals and 1 assist, of which the assist and 2 goals were actually game-winning ones. So he's been very, you know, impactful in that sense. And I think considering the kind of player that he's becoming, who's shouldering responsibility, he's going to be a big star. And Chidu, coming to you, the time when we spoke about him, you specifically touched on the fact that speed is something that cannot be taught, and he has that in abundance.
Yeah, you know, from the very early days, I think when Ashley Westwood was here at BFC, they saw what Udanta had, and they realized he needed to learn how to play against physical defenses. So they sent him to the UK to spend some time there, and they said that was one of the things he worked on. He came back a better player. And also, what is interesting is this year, you spoke about the goals he scored in the ISL, but also want to talk about the kind of goals he has scored. You know, he scored a header in Mumbai, I think. And then the game before that against Delhi was a very good move. Like, I think beat 2 players, cut him from the right, and then a superb thunderous shot. So he's been scoring different types of goals. So it shows that he's now a good all-round player.
Yeah, and also, unlike last year when he used to actually dart past people, but his last final ball was always suspect. Because there used to be instances when Chetri would actually prod him to put the ball somewhere. So after and this time he has been better with that decision making. But the match against Mumbai was pretty interesting because except for the first goal that he scored, almost from a centre forward position, on the right side he was basically... Subhashish actually didn't let him do much. So, I mean, going forward, those are the kind of tests that he will face more. And how he deals with them actually will tell you more about how much he has improved. He has certainly improved, but he's sure to get more such tests going forward.
Yes. So, that's about it from this episode of Injury Time here. Let me thank both my guests, Sudarshan and Chidu. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Yeah, pleasure.
Yes, you can get this on all platforms. You follow us on Twitter at InjuryTimeIND, and we'll hope to see you again next week.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Lowe's knows that more projects mean more tools. For a limited time, new and existing MyLowe's Rewards credit card members can get 12-month special financing on purchases of $299 or more, in-store and online. Don't wait to get the things you need. Get special financing today. Lowe's. We help. You save. Now through August 27th, choose 12-month special financing on purchases of $299 or more. Offer subject to credit approval and cannot be combined. Minimum monthly payments required. See store at Lowe's.com for details.